So since I shared this last time, God has added and added and added to it. Because that's what he does. And it's been, I'm just waiting for the end of the year to come, because if he keeps adding to it, I might just have to float away with it. And the second part that he added to it was, I'm going to start with that, actually gain wise counsel. And I was thinking about it when he said it, and I'm like, how does that fit into what I'm sharing? Because I had this word for my church at home. Excuse my voice, is kind of hoarse. But anyway, and yeah. And so to start off, each one of us are in a new place. I know that. Each one of us are in a new place today. And even if you don't think you are, you're in a new place, because God is doing something brand new with his people, something he's never did before, and it's going to get richer and richer and richer. So just be ready. Get yourself ready for the richness that God is. And so I'm going to start with Elisha and Elijah as getting wise counsel. Those two men traveled together. Do you know the story of Elisha and Elijah and how they traveled together? And I thought their story just became more and more unique to me as I fitted it into getting wise counsel. Because when Elijah was walking with Elijah, I always get their names mixed up, but when they were walking together, and he started talking to him, and he asked him, when he told him what he wanted, he said, I want a double portion of what you have to follow me. And he, at that time, his counsel to him was, you have asked a hard thing. That was his counsel to him. And I started thinking about that. Why would he say you've asked a hard thing? Because he knew what God had taken him through to get to where he was. He knew that. And so he was letting him know in no uncertain terms, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. This is not something that you're just going to fall on you and you think that it's not going to kill that very flesh that you walk in. But this is going to cause a death in you in order to get a double portion of what I have. And so as he started walking with him, and as the chariot of fire fell down out the sky, or was right in the sky, and he said, if you see, this is my one thing for you, if you see me when I am taken up, then you will get that double portion. Now that is what God is saying to us right now today. See, we've been walking side by side with the Father, with Jesus. He's been with us every step of the way. From the time we said, yes, I want Jesus in my heart, he's been walking with us. And then he went through a death, and we think because in the disciple days, they got to feel his hand and walk with him. So have we. So have we, if we've been in the road. Have you been going through places where you are carrying the cross that Jesus carried in your life in different places? And you get to the place now that we are from that cross, that we are stretched both ways. What is that stretching? It is the world against the Father, against God. And that stretching is going on whether you old, young, or in between. There's always that pull in you to try to pull you back from whence God has for you. But there's always the center part, which is your foundation. That's the Jesus part. Here you're being stretched, but if you are solid and if your foundation has become firm, you cannot be moved. And even though the world may pull on you, there is a deeper foundational root that God wants us to start tapping into. So it would enable that flesh part of us to ever have any kind of pull on us. Because, you know, if there's anything that you have really thrive for in your youth or something you really like to do, that is the pull. That is the way Satan comes at you. He's not going to come at you as something that you don't like. He's going to come at you with something that you thrive on. And he can take the most simplest thing and make it sound the most delicious. And then if you're going through a battle where God is testing you, then that's the time he's going to give you that delicious thing the most. Because he's going to say, do you really want to go through all this hardness? Look what God is asking you to give up. Look what God is taking you through. See, God caused you to get sick. God caused you to do this because this is the way he talked. He has no new tricks, none. These are the old tricks that he's always did. When he went to Eve and said, did God say you will surely die? Yeah, God did. But the way he put it to her, she go, let me think about that. Number one point, don't think about that. Don't think about that because it will betray you. Your mind was just started dwelling on that instead of dwelling on the things that God wants you to dwell on. So change that, are you in your testing area? Because if you are in a testing area, then you are before God, and God is praying that your faith faileth not. God himself is praying. When you know God is praying for you, it says just like when Job was in the Bible and he said, consider my servant, Lewis. There's none like him in the whole earth. And Satan said, yeah, but you got a hedge around him. You got a hedge around him. Now, he said, well, I'll take the hedge from around him because he is not going to betray me. He's not going to betray me. When he said that, consider, that means you are on God's mind. Just imagine that. The Father is thinking about you personally when he said, consider. He is looking at your life personally and saying, this person has come to me for counsel. This person has sought me in every area of their life. This person cannot be moved. Now you try me and you'll see. Because I've tried him in the fire or her in the fire, and they have not turned their back on me. That's a good place to be in, not a bad place to be in when God tells you that. God is in the process of getting ready to show us himself in a more amazing way. I think of the council. Lewis and I, we started on this journey years ago in our lives. And we left. God told Lewis and I to leave everything, family, home, job, way of living. Both of us had gotten very big offers in jobs that we would make really a lot of money. And God said, that's not for you. He said, I'm going to send you up to Alaska where you've never been before. And you don't have a dime in your pocket. But what I give you to make it on the road. With two little babies, one 4 pounds and one just an infant still, Dan and Ben. And I'm sending you up the road in Plymouth Ferry. And Lewis had made a trailer out of a pickup truck in the back. And so down the road we go in October of all times. Didn't know nothing about Alaska. Didn't know nothing about black ice. And we're traveling up this road because we knew that God had told us to get here. And then all of a sudden, this apostolic ministry called us and said, we need you. And they need, we need you there. Okay, we're going to go. So with the counsel of them, we prayed about it. Monday, got visions. Tuesday, put our car in the shop. Wednesday, call our parents Thursday, and was on the road Friday. And it went boom, 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 boom. And here we are going down the road. Lost the trailer. Hit black ice. Didn't know what it was. The trailer just dumped over. All the trucks on the road was calling us the little semi. This was before he started driving a semi. Because they said, what are you doing out here in that little car in October going up to Alaska? So they started looking out for us on the road. Here comes a semi down the road. Lewis hits the black ice. The truck couldn't stop. It was coming right for us. And no matter what he was doing, it was not moving. And all of a sudden, there was a patch this big of gravel on the road. And Lewis' tire hit it. And just as the truck got to us, it knocked our trailer out of the way. But the trailer bounced back and forth, and everything we owned that was so dear to us, especially my treadle sewing machine, got dumped out on the road. And Lewis didn't tell me about my treadle until 4 days later, because it was in pieces, just in pieces, and that was just like my baby, you know. And so here we are with these two little babies, and lost everything. We was miles still away from where we were going, but long story short, all along the way, God sent his counsel right there with us and was told. I mean, when we got to Eureka Lodge, she didn't ask Lewis, she told Lewis, "You are not taking this woman one step further. I have a bedroom back there with the motel. You are putting her in there. I can't believe you think you're leaving here. You're not leaving here. I'm going to give them babies a nice warm bath and blah, blah, blah." She was telling Lewis, Lewis was like, okay. He goes, "Well, how much is it going to cost?" "Did I ask you how much it was going to cost you?" She's like, "No, you just take them babies back there. Sweetie, I'm taking care of you." You know? We was like, okay. I was like, oh my gosh. Is everybody in Alaska that supports you? I don't know if they are or not, but it was like, okay. So here we are, we are going because God told us to go. And when God tells you to go, then God covers you when you go. So as we finished our trip, we made it up here. We got to Palmer. We lived on Lazy Mountain, on a mountain in a valley. We drove up there. And all them pictures they sent me was not the truth. I drove up there and it was like, it was this big, huge barn. And that was that what they call Koinonia Hall. And that was, they was so happy about this barn. And they was like, "Oh, we're so glad to see y'all." And they took us in there and I'm looking at Lewis like, "I am not staying here." And he was like, "But God said." And I'm like looking around and I'm thinking, God would not do this to me. I can hear the cows peeing while I'm in the bed. I didn't know what it was. Psh, and I'm like, "What is that?" He goes, "Oh, that's just cows, honey." And I'm like, "Oh my God, you brought me to the ghetto, ghetto, ghetto." You know, I didn't live. And I'm sitting in there. I didn't know what to do with myself. Turned the light off. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face because there was no windows. So we lived in this room. And I put my hand in front of my face and I said, "I can't even see my child." And I was scared to let him go. I just was holding him like this because I thought anything could just come snatch him out of here. So Lewis lived there and then they took him from me and sent him down to Delta, because they were planning on moving to Delta, and I'm in this barn with my two kids in the dark with cows underneath me mooing by myself. And I'm sitting up there, and one day he came home, and if y'all know, anybody know my husband, he is just this person that does not lose it. He doesn't. But, you know, when you have a nagging woman on your case, because the baby's got spider bites on him, and you got me in this godforsaken place, and blah, 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 and all of a sudden, he raised his voice and said, "What do you want me to do?" And I was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. He never raised his voice, and I'm looking at him, he said, "We're going downstairs, and we're telling him we're not going to be here, and if God comes after us, that's on you." So I'm like really praying now because I'm like, oh my God, you know. And so we go down there and I was like, "You don't have to announce that. You do. I changed my mind. I'll stay here. God wants us to stay here. I'll stay here. You don't have to do that." I was like, you know, we were counseled to come here. We got visions and everything and they were positive. And he was like, had turned me off. Like, "You think I'm coming back home to this every day? I don't think so." So he gets up and makes this announcement. They said, "Anybody got an announcement?" He stands up. "Evelyn and I would be leaving. And because Evelyn cannot handle this, and we are not going to be staying here because if the woman ain't happy, nothing's happy in the house. We're leaving," you know? And so I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, what have I done? I'm serious. I thought God was going to strike me dead right there because I knew I was supposed to be there. And so the next day they moved us to this really nice trailer, had windows in it. It was away from all them cows doing their thing. I mean, the cow died one night and I heard it, but I didn't know that's what he was doing. And they was like, did anybody hear the cow dying? And I didn't raise my hand because I didn't know what it sounded like, a cow dying. I'm a city girl. I don't know nothing about that stuff. And so that's why it gets me when I hear people stand up here that never been on a farm and go, oh, and those cute little cows, and they pretty much, I'm like, yeah, right. You live underneath them for a day or two. You won't be calling them pretty no more. Anyway, long story short, here we are. We made it here because this is where we were counseled to go. Nobody told us. We didn't know what a Delta Junction was. We didn't know where it was. All we know is that we heard the word Delta Junction. And we started to search the Father for see where it was at. And here we landed. Best thing we ever did, huh, baby? Best thing we ever did. We haven't lived in Delta, Detroit, Michigan since I was 17 years old. I've traveled around ever since I was 17. Doing the things that God told me to do. So now, you know, it's your turn. This is what God's told me not too long ago. It's your turn. Well, we just came from Israel. Amazing trip. And I'm sitting up there, and as I was going over my word today, God says, you know, he says, this is an add-on to your word. So we was walking down this long corridor, and had these little steps and stuff on it. And I was complaining to Lewis. Of course, they couldn't hear me, but Lewis was hearing me, earfuls. And I was saying, where are we going? This has no reason why we should be pushed and shoved like this right in this part. It was the one long part that she wanted to show us something. I don't know. It wasn't nothing significant that Nancy had picked. It was just something she wanted to show us. Y'all remember those little side views we went on? So we were just walking along, and by halfway through, I am drenched. I'm sitting up there, and I'm walking through there. And so we finally get to this amazing restaurant that she wanted to take us to, that we ate something that I still don't know what it was. It was supposed to be a hamburger, cheeseburger. I got scared to ask what it was. So we sat there and we ate that, and as we was coming out of the restaurant, we were going to see, I think it was the Holy Scepter, right? We were going to see the Holy Scepter. And this is just God. This is God's counsel, okay? And so I'm standing there, and everything inside of me was going, you said you was going to heal me when I got here. And now they're going to see the scepter, and I don't want to go down there and be pushed around and can't hardly walk, and I don't want nobody to wait for me, pride. I don't want nobody to look at me and say, oh, Evelyn, we're waiting for you. And nobody was doing that. Nobody, okay? Just to set that straight. This was Evelyn's little pride thing going on. As I was standing there, all of a sudden I felt a hand on my shoulder. And someone leaned up and they started whispering in my ear. Nobody could hear them but me. And the words they said to me was this: everything that you are meant to see, God's going to make sure you don't miss. That's all they said to me. They said, so I just want you to know I'm praying for you, because everything that God wants you to see, you will not miss. And that person was Debbie Grimes. And I mean, it was just out of the clear blue. I hadn't said anything to her. I hadn't said anything to anybody but Lewis. And those words start to ring in my spirit. Just rung in my spirit. And all the self-pity and the pride and stuff, at that moment when she said that, literally washed off me. It just like she put a cloak on me, and it just drowned out all the other sounds that wasn't positive. And so we went on, and we went back and got a cab because it was pretty congested. And Tom and I went and got a cab, but went back to the room and Lewis. But when I was doing this word, the Lord said, that was the wise counsel that we need to look for today. See, we think, sometimes we think wise counsel just got to come from the Father and that's it. No. God is going to send people to you that is going to have wise counsel for you. And it's going to be a person have no idea what you're going through. And all of a sudden, God's going to send that person to you and he's going to tell you something. Now, we have got to put on new ears so we can hear the voice of the Father through each other. Because that's where we mess up. It's going to come through probably the most unlikely person that you would think it would come through. But it will be the word of the Lord for you. And if you are in this bubble or in this box where God has to come a certain way, you're going to miss your next step. You're going to miss that part of the glory that God wants to put on you because it didn't come in that box. And it didn't come in that shape. And it didn't look like you thought it should look. We have to get out of that. Because the counsel that God's given now these days, God does that kind of stuff. Haven't you ever noticed? He always sent people to you that the most unlikely people to you or to speak and stuff, and you get the most out of what they're saying. God wants your attention. And by golly, he's getting it. I don't know about you, but just like I said, when we walked in here this conference, there was such a lightness in this room like I have never felt before. And I was whispering to either was Liz or Tim was one of them, was on the inside of me. And I was saying, I wonder if it has anything to do with us going to Israel. So many, it was 18 of us that went to Israel. And I know that I came back changed. I know I did. I know that the things that used to so easily beset me does not anymore. I know that when I walk down my street, even when I was over there, here we are walking on some places that they have revitalized. And all I could think about is my Savior walked on this ground in his feet, in sandals, got filthy, got dirty, walking through all kind of stuff. But he did it for me. He did it for me. So I need to stop complaining about this shoulda, woulda, and coulda that I have to walk through now, because it's nothing compared to what he had to go through. Nothing. He didn't have a car to jump in and take him from one place to the other. Barely had a mule, you know. Most of every place he went, he walked. He walked. And so we came back with a new perspective. I came back with a new perspective. I don't know about anybody else, but I came back with a new perspective like I have never had before. I came back with a sense of, Father, I need your counsel just to talk to somebody, to counsel to them. I don't want to just go to them because I'm familiar with them and say, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. No, I don't want to do that anymore. Not that I ever tried to do that, but even if I did, I'm like, I don't want any counsel but what you want me to say. Because when you say it, it brings change. Everything God does, it brings change. The next person that came to me that he put in my heart was Abraham. Abraham, when he went to, God came to him. And remember when he was looking down on the ground to Sodom and Gomorrah? And he was looking down there and he, all of a sudden, angels walked up to him as he's walking down there. And they said, one of the angels that we think is angel said, should I tell Abraham what I'm about to do? We have read that scripture how many times? Did you know that that was God talking to him? Because why would an angel turn around to angels and say, should I tell Abraham what I'm about to do? No, it was God himself talking. Should I tell Abraham my counsel for what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah? And Abraham, they said Abraham was just overwhelmed by the presence of this person. That's why I started thinking about it and started searching it out. It had to be God. It had to be. It couldn't have been just an angel. Abraham has seen those. Okay, so here he tells him this, and he goes and talks to him, and then he turns to Lot. Well, after he told him that if there's one, I will save him. Then he told his son, his nephew, choose where you want to live. Wherever you want to go, you can go. Wherever you want to be, you can be. Instead of him looking at the life of his uncle and the counsel that his uncle had already got and the way his uncle had gotten counsel, he decided to move out on what his vision saw. How many of us are moving on what we see rather than the counsel of the Almighty God? He had this man right beside him that had walked with him, that had talked with him. He saw him pull off and pray. He saw him take his son up to the mountain because God said he needed a sacrifice. He saw him willing to do this, and yet he still walked in his own way instead of seeking the counsel of God and said, I don't know if this is the place for me or not. And because he did not seek God's counsel, we know the rest of the story. Couldn't have been God's counsel. He got down there, and Sodom and Gomorrah was the pits of pits. Because he had not gleaned from where God had him, because he had not sucked it up, because he did not read the word like he was supposed to, get into God like he was supposed to, he had no counsel on what he should be doing. And his outcome was tragic. His wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she turned around. Did they tell her not to turn around? Wise counsel. I'll take you out of this land, Lot, you and your wife, but you cannot turn around and look back. Wise counsel. What did she do? She turned around and looked back. See, we got it in our head that God's word can come back void. It cannot. We're finding out in everyday life, when God says something, it doesn't matter if it's your loved one. They have to reap the consequences of their everything they do, of their actions. No matter who it is. And, it's like God is waking up the church. The church has been asleep. The church sees God as this God that is just glorious, and he doesn't do anything but nice things to me. Yeah, he does do nice things to you. Do you know that if you're praying for something and God doesn't give it to you right away, and then you wonder why God hasn't given it to you away? If God told you were going to get that thing, you're going to get it. But you don't get to choose how you get it. And you don't get to choose when you get it. And you don't choose the way in which he's going to present it to you. All you get to choose is waiting on the Father to give it to you. Because God, if he sees you walking down the road, just like when the guy was with the mule, the donkey, and Balaam. And he was walking down the road, and he didn't see the big old angel there about ready to chop his head off. That right there is just to me. And the donkey, the donkey talking would have been enough for me. If a donkey turned around and started saying, haven't I been good to you all these years? I probably would have jumped off of it and ran. This donkey's talking to him and tells him, haven't I been faithful to you all this time? The reason why I won't go forward because there's an angel there with a flaming sword. That would be enough. Okay, how many of you have been walking down a path and God has counseled you, you are not to do this? And you went a month and didn't do it. But the next month, you decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it. It ain't going to hurt me. And then you fall into all these traps, and everything goes wrong. And the first thing we say is, why did God let that happen to me? But if we follow the breadcrumbs back, we'll find out that 2 months ago, God told you, do not do this. And you decided a month was enough. And so you went proceeding on doing it. And then you fell in a trap. Now, you know the most awesome thing about that? That when you cry out to the Father in all sincerity and say, God, forgive me, His hand is there for you. But will we take His hand? Or will we steady try to blame Him for our circumstance and our situations? See, we're coming into a time in our life where God has drawn a line like never before. That's why I believe. And we don't have time. We just don't have time for all the foolishness that we used to walk in. Because there's an adversary waiting for us to trip up. He's waiting. And he's right there at the door 24/7, waiting for us to trip up. And so we have got to be wise. We have got to get the counsel of the Lord so we don't fall into those traps. People want their own way and not God's way, because God's way is so slow and it's not moving fast enough. Don't let people put you in the box. God is not blind. He made me, He made you. That was no easy task in itself. You look at your life sometimes, you're like, man, what was you thinking about when you made me? Made me like this. Only God can change a person. So humble yourself, seek His face, and let God make you into the man and the woman that He wants you to be, because He does have a design for each one of our lives. He has a design for each one of our lives. And it's so funny, because if you're analytical mind, He's got to work through that. If you're like all over the place, ooh, He's got to work through that. If you're a know-it-all, He's got to work through that. If you know nothing, He's got to work through that. Just imagine this. He said He's doing this constantly to get us to get from here to there. Just those small steps He has to do just to get us there. And He's saying, I have put it in you. We're all fat with the things of God. We're just fat with them. And God is saying, let the river flow. Pour it out. It's time to pour it out. Give back that you've been given so I can pour something new in. I can't put anything new in old wineskins if you don't pour out what's in there. My counsel to you is let Him pour it out. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it is the glory of kings to seek it out. That's in Proverbs 25:2. Did you know you were king and priest? God has no gender. There's no gender in the Bible. That's another like thing we have to get over. You know, because I mean, when I was young, I used to say, how come He always say he, she, and I mean, why always says he? Why don't He say she, he? You know, He never says, and then, you know, God started telling me, I don't see gender. You are my species called man. That's why I prefer to you as man. And as my species man, there's male and female in you, just like, I know we don't like to hear that, just like a bear and everything else. There's male and female. So when I speak, it would be so much time for me to say, and the female part of man needs to do this, and the male part of man needs to do that. That even sounds stupid, don't it? But that's what we want God to do. We want Him to, you know, be specific to us. And that even sounds silly when we even think about doing it. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. You are not here because you're so holy. But you are here because God said it, you believed it, and you doubted it not in your heart. And you took that counsel and you planted the seed. And then God, somebody planted the seed in you, and somebody watered it, and look at the increase. Look at the increase we got. That's why we're here, because we believed it and we walked in it. And God wants us to keep walking in that he is, like more than ever before. The word teach in Psalms 119:66, it says to teach me, is first to be taught in a place in which God may begin to teach you. We must first empty out all of ourselves, of all our ideas, of everything, so that God can teach us what he wants us to know. And we are so full. This young man in our home, his name is Johnny, and But he's new. And you know what? He wasn't born like a lot of us that had all this Christianity pumped into him. And so he made a statement last Wednesday that just struck me. He said, you know, I need to ask a question. And he was asking a question about being bound in heaven and bound on earth. And he said, I need to ask counsel. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be funny. He said, but you got to remember, and this is the thing he said, I wasn't born like most of you. I had no parents that knew God. I never set up in a church. All I have is what you guys give me. That was profound to me. And we was all sitting around the table, and I was like, wow. Because his parents were not Christians. Matter of fact, they thought they were witches at one time. So he wasn't raised under what we were raised under. But the questions that he come up with, you have to literally sit there, and if you don't listen intently, you'll be ready to say, Johnny, just be quiet. But I'm finding out these last couple days, this man is asking kingdom questions. And we are sitting there stumped sometime because we are shocked that that's coming out of his mouth. But because he has a heart after God, God has given that man a kingdom understanding, and he wants to know. And so he takes it literally. When you bind in heaven, isn't it bound on earth? Is that wrong to think that way? Is what he asked us. And some people say, no. It's like all of a sudden it's just like, just put at you. No. Because that's scriptural. He said, then why do we do this and that and the other? And I'm telling you, I went home thinking about him. Lewis came home. I was like, you should have heard Johnny tonight. I can't believe it, you know. Because he's just example of the whole world that is crying out for us to come forth. We have got to have wise counsel for the world. Because the wrong counsel, we can mess them up for life. We can send them down the wrong road, and they will never, never come back on it. And so that's not what God wants us to do. And so he wants to teach us. And to be taught, you have to empty out so God can fill you back up again. To teach us by implementing something that urges and stimulates us into action. It's what he wants to do. God wants to do that with you. Have you ever heard just a simple word, and I mean all of a sudden you're in your Bible trying to find it, trying to look it up, dissecting it, you know, doing everything you can to it to find out the meaning to it, and when you find out the meaning, it is nothing like you thought it was. It means something completely different. You better start searching out the word. It's not just enough to read the word, but you get to a word and you think you know what it is, just search it out. Take my word for it. You'll be blessed. Because God will open up an avenue to you that will just knock your socks off. Good means to be, there's a meaning good also. And it says it means to be pleasant, delightful, be glad, be joyful, be better, be well with. That's what the word good means. To be well with. So when you hear the word, is it well with my soul? God is saying, is it good with your soul? Is your soul delightful? Is your soul joyous? Is your soul rejoicing? That's what that it is well mean. I know when we sing it, it's such a slow song. Sometimes we sing it, and it's just like, you know, some places you sing it, you sound like you're dragging. Is it well? No, what God is saying, is it well? Is it good with you? That's what that song was trying to tell you. Is it good with you? The judgment of God is to taste, is to discern, is to decree with all intelligence. With all intelligence. The knowledge in that scripture means, which means the ability to see, hear, and become aware of something, thought, of something or thoughts that you have. To be skilled, to discernment, and to understand wisdom. This is just from the first part of the scripture Nancy gave us. Those are just three words from the first part. How much scripture do you look up when you're reading through it? Or you just figure, oh, I know that word, so I'm just going to keep going there. Do you know different words in the Bible have different meanings in different places? So it may mean this over here, but it may mean something else over here. And if you don't look it up, you're just trying to say you're reading the same thing over and over and over again. Oh, come on. He don't even do stuff over and over and over and over again. I mean, anybody to say being a Christian is boring, they are not a Christian. I'm sorry to tell them that. Because every day you meet with something different, something new, some challenge that you have to go through. And you know what? He's not letting us go around anymore. We got to go through it. If you want to do it, you got to go through it. You want the best, you got to go through it. You want to be a good counselor, you got to go through it. Because how can you counsel somebody you never experienced it? You start experiencing stuff, you can counsel people in that because you have the passion. You have that inside of you. You have that humbleness inside of you to be able to talk to somebody, and you know, you become transparent. And when you're transparent, God's people can hear you. Better when you're transparent than not. God doesn't want us to just be hearers of the word, but he wants us to be doers of the word, which we must have the knowledge of God to move into. There is all these stones that you used to have of knowledge. It says if you take a piece of coal and you put it under pressure, it yields everything within it and it becomes a valuable jewel. All these years, God has had us under pressure at one thing or another because he's making jewels. And when you get a jewel and put it up to a light, have you noticed how light goes out from all, every which way from it? Yep. All everywhere. And I know that's what he's doing. He's making jewels out of us. Wise counsel does not always come with the word that you wanted to hear, like I said. Okay? It doesn't. I'm finding out, like, I can't go on. If I think I even wounded somebody just a little bit, I can't even go up and lead worship. I can't. Not no more. I have to seek that person out. And I have to make sure they're okay. I have to make sure that I didn't wound them unto death. And I have to make sure that they forgive me, because I don't want that on my heart. That's how we all got to be. We got to be in such a place with God, because God cares about the little bitty birds, about every little thing. And he cares about every word that proceeds out of our mouth, because our words have power. Asked, and it shall be given. Don't stop asking. It says, ask and it shall be given. Nowhere in the Bible did I hear it say, ask and it shall be given, and then if you don't get it, stop asking. He said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Don't stop asking until it's given, unless and God tells you. Okay? Seek and ye shall find. Don't stop seeking until you find what you're looking for. God loves it when we search him out. He loves it. He loves to give us things when we search him out. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Don't stop knocking. Because these phrases right here is how you receive wise counsel. You ask, you seek, and you knock. And then the counsel comes to you. Be not weary in well-doing, because you shall reap if you faint not. The last couple weeks, I was at the house, and the songs that's been coming to me is a Miley Cyrus. Is that how you say her name? Yes. It's The Climb. That song has been ringing in my head of all songs. And I'm like, God, why is that song ringing in my head? I mean, I love the song, but all of a sudden, I heard the song like I've never heard the song. And he said, Evelyn, that song is ringing in your head because the places where my people are walking now, it's not about how fast they get there. It's not about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. It's about the endurance. That whole song is about faith. She said, don't lose your faith. That's what she says in that song. Don't lose your faith. She said, I can almost see it, this dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never make it. Every step I'm making, every move I'm taking feels lost with no, let's see, I have to think, sing it in my head, feels lost with no direction, and my faith starts shaking. But I'm going to keep on climbing. I'm going to keep my head held high. Because there's always going to be another mountain, and I'm always going to want to make it move. And there's always going to be an uphill battle. And sometimes I may have to lose, but it never matter how fast I get there, and it doesn't matter what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. It's the climb for you to keep on climbing. God wants us to keep on climbing. And if we don't climb, if we don't try to get that next word that he has for us, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out. You know, I love doing Marco Polo because I get to reach out to people that I can't touch. And so I love it. And I love the most when they Marco Polo me back. It's so cool. And so I feel like I'm in Ketchikan when I Marco Polo her. I feel like I'm down in Georgia when I Marco Polo Lorraine. And this person, Lorraine was out on a boat with alligators the other day. I couldn't believe she was out there with alligators. I was like, why are you on a boat with alligators? She's like, oh, my son wanted to see how it felt. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, big alligators on one of those boats you see on the safari on the TV that you only dream about. That's what she was on. She Marco Polo and showed it to me. But I can reach out to anybody while Marco Polo. And God says, are you reaching out, Evelyn? Are you Marco Polo in the spirit? Are you reaching out to people when I bring them before you and praying without ceasing and praying without ceasing until you see a change happen? Because I used to do that. I still do it, but not the way I'm doing it now. It's like you do it, and it becomes, you know, okay, I'm just praying for that person and whatever. No. God says, no, you need to fire up again. Fire up again, folks, because this is not the time to get lax. It's the time to fire up as never before. Throw another log on the fire. Grab another scripture. Throw it on the fire. Because this is the time that we're getting so close that the devil would like for us to lose. Our flesh would like for us to lose because it's losing control. And we cannot let our flesh make us lose control. Right? Okay. There is 5 steps that I want to take you through that are you. God said these steps are you, okay? Number one, God is a spirit, and he's a spirit that dwells inside of you. So if you somebody would turn to John 4:24. If you got your Bibles. You got it? Anybody got that? You don't have your swords. Huh? Got it? Read it, please. Are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Because God is a spirit. And so if God is a spirit, where does that spirit live? Inside of us. Inside of us. Walking around every day, okay? Inside of us. This is what, and the next one is God is one. One living inside of us. One. Okay, Galatians 3:20. Read it. Do you know who your mediator is? Who's your mediator? Jesus. That's who your mediator is. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? I guess you don't know him. Y'all don't know Jesus? You know, he said, if you don't confess me out loud, I'm going to be quiet about you. Do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So Jesus is our mediator. He's one that lives inside of us, right? Okay, so all we have to do is go to him for counsel. He goes to the Father, and it comes right back to us. This is wise counsel, right? Okay, do you know we've got to dump into the Jordan River? We went down 7 times. It was great. It was great. And then everybody decided to get baptized. And Lewis and I sat over there and was watching. We've been baptized before. Ain't no sense of us doing this again. I don't know if I want to do that or not. So Lewis looks down at me and he goes, "You want me to get baptized, don't you?" I'm just sitting there watching. I'm like, I'm just watching. And all of a sudden, I can hear in my head, this is the Jordan River. This is where Jesus got baptized. This is where John the Baptist got. Why are you even thinking about this? So we walked over there, and I was like, my turn. and got baptized again in the Jordan River. I don't know if that's why we're so changed or not, but, you know, hey, we got baptized in the Jordan River, and we had a blast doing it. And then found out they taped it, so we all got videos, which is amazing. Got baptized in the Jordan River. God is a consuming fire. That's in Hebrews 12, 29. Read it, please. And that fire lives where? Inside of you. This is stuff that's in us. We got to realize this is in us. We are spirit. We are one. We are a consuming fire, okay? God is light. That's right. In 1 John 1 and 5, it talks about God is light. God is love. Galatians 5:22. God is love. Talks about God being love. Now, why I'm making these points? Because we have to realize that all this is in here. All this is in here. When you're counseling people, you got to know what the Spirit is saying. You got to move one with your mediator. You got to let the light of the Lord shine through you. You got to let the love of God overpower you. You have to walk in these things when you are giving wise counsel. Because then it's complete. Every essence of what God is coming forth. And every essence of what you were is not. You're leaving the dead man in the casket. And you're not taking him out, letting everybody and using him on somebody and say, well, you don't look like you're very spiritual. Let me give you some counsel. We've did that too much. We don't need to do that again. That's not what God is about. David, wise counsel. What did he tell his men in the cave? Do you remember when they wanted him to go and just destroy Saul? And he said, no, you do not touch God's anointed. You don't touch God's anointed. Do you know God doesn't care how small his anointing is? You go touching it, you will reap the consequence. That word cannot come back void. We've seen it happen in our day and in our time. Somebody touched God's anointed that we knew. Not only did they left the church, they lost their job of 30-something years because they touched one person that was God's anointed. And God didn't tell him to touch it. It's almost like everything in the Bible is jumping off the page to me now. It's like I used to take it for granted. We used to take it for granted. But God is saying, you better pay attention because you are not going to get the second time around if you know. He said, woe to those who know to do right and do wrong. That is the counsel of God. You know to do right and you choose to do wrong, you're in danger of hellfire. And we're not going to be able to do 5 Hail Marys and get back in his grace. Or anything else, whatever religion that you're in, whatever. You know, some people say, well, you know, in the Bible says God will keep forgiving you. No. You better read really carefully in the Bible. He says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Do you know what that means? That means one of these days you're going to mess up and he ain't going to be there. And that's going to be a bed you put your own self in. Yes, he is a merciful God. He is a loving God, but he's also a faithful God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. I love that scripture. And to end on that note, that's my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. It says, stand firm in that the Lord has given us. War against flesh, desires that are against God. Fight for the freedom that God has given. Pray without ceasing until it comes. Joy in the midst of the storm is what he wants you to have. Peace like a river cleansing over our souls. Faith unmovable yet full of glory. And grace, God's gift to us. That the word of God dwells in us richly, with all wisdom seeking and admonishing one another. That's what he wants us to do. See, God's counsel has a beginning and it has an end. Okay? The end is always victory when it's his counsel. And sometimes the counsel is a little bitter. What did it say? Bitter in the mouth? Or sweet in the mouth and bitter in the stomach? Something like that, right? Sweet in the mouth and bitter in the stomach. But it's always for our good. Everything is for our good. So there is nothing, no counsel, just have your ears open. I don't know how many times I can say, have your ears open. Because God is giving great counsel right now. And all these workshops that's coming, I mean, I always take notes. I always tell my church, take notes. You know, I go back and read some of my notes, and they have pulled me out of the worst fires. Something somebody else have said, and I went back and read it, whether it's about me or not. And even on television, you know, looking at what T.D. Jakes and all these other guys, going back, I take notes when I'm looking at TV. I take notes. Because those things are jewels. That's your gold. That's your counsel that's going to be there. That's what you can tell your flesh when it tries to rise up and take over. Have God said, yes, he did. So you get behind me because you are not in control.